All right, today we want to kick off today's retreat with what is really the foundational lesson of Limitless, and that is the science of success. What does it take to really create, be, have, achieve, and experience more in our work and our lives? And the first thing it takes is setting down what we like to call the lollipop of mediocrity. Now, I don't know if you remember the first time you heard this story. Some of you have heard it. It is not the most elegant or eloquent story that I have, but people remember it because they come up to me in conference halls and say, hey, you're the lollipop lady. 30 years of service, but I'm the lollipop lady. This is a lollipop. It's the lollipop of mediocrity. And a lot of us, if we're not really careful, spend a lot of time licking off the lollipop of mediocrity. The problem with that is if you take one lick off the lollipop of mediocrity, if you are not careful, you will suck forever. I told you it was not elegant, but I told you that you would remember it and you will remember it, right? It's because the lollipop, what is a lollipop? It's sweet and it's sugary and it's saccharine, and our brains get addicted to it, like distractions and emails and excuses. And our job is to be clear and conscious and confident enough in what we're doing and why to say, hey, not only is there a lollipop, I'm going to choose to set it down and I'm going to put myself in a position to succeed, right? I'm going to be whole and healthy and I'm going to take actions that align with the outcome that I want to create for myself and my life. So we're going to kick off with a little interactive exercise because Adam and I are going to do a lot of talking today and we want to give you the opportunity to warm up your vocal cords and join right away. Actually not, it's going to be your fingers because we're going to do a poll. There we go, right, we're kicking off. All right, I want you to fill in the blank in your chat. When you think about your big vision, why you're here, what you would love to create, your version of life in the Philippines or being a pilot and, you know, taking weekends in Park City to do cool stuff, what sits in that space for you? I need my little clicker to work here.
Just click on the screen, it works better. Yep.
Look at that. What, you know, is it, I need more people in the pipeline. I can't keep up with all the work. I have too many clients. I can't delegate. I don't like managing people, or I can do it better myself. Like when you think about your next up level, whatever it is, when you get to the point, to the edge of your comfort zone, the voices in your head, right, the stories that shrink you, we're going to talk about those today, will kick in and sit in the space between you. And it will feel like an invisible force field where you're focusing and applying and you're doing and you're efforting all the time, but somehow you're just incrementally inching forward. And then you have moments where you'll get clarity or something will happen. You'll get fed up and you'll take that leap. And so the question is, how do we create that kind of space? So I'm going to click on the chat just so I can see.
While you're pulling that up, one thing that really was a peaceful thought when I thought about all these things that gave me so much peace and comfort going through Limitless, I don't have to figure this out on my own. Someone else has already done this. And mind you, I thought someone else, probably not as smart as me, has already figured this out, not to toot my own horn too much. I'm a reasonably smart individual. So if someone else can figure it out, I can do this as well.
Yeah. You all have everything you need to succeed within you. And when you go out and get the coaching, the community, the content, the support on top of it, you are in a prime position to succeed. If you're clear on what your resistance points are, otherwise you're going to, what's that saying, right? You can whack through the jungle, but you've got to be right going in the right direction. What are the things when you think about that next big up level, where do you hit the edge of your comfort zone and what's sitting in that space? I can't, it's too hard. If I get any more successful, I won't have a life, right? I have too many clients. I don't know what to do with them. That is what needs tending to. And we're going to talk about how we start to get a lot more clarity and consciousness on a daily, weekly, annual basis about who we are, what's happening and why it's happening. Step one is, can you sit in that space right now and just come up with something where you're not the thought anymore? You're conscious that, hey, this is something that's come up and sort of stood between me and that goal. All right. So I see a number of things in the chat. I can't actually see the C-Vent chat right
different,
now.
Different. I know. A little bit of a fall from the normal way of presenting.
So let's talk about why we don't have the more and better that calls us. Because let's be honest, we all have a vision of a bigger, better future in life. body, business, bank account, great relationships with the people that we love. And most of the time we're sitting in the gap, reminding ourselves how much of that we're not experiencing from a place of negativity and disempowerment and diminishment and lack. There's truth in that. If there wasn't, you wouldn't be here, right? We have this conversation as step one at Limitless. Here's what I learned on the beach in Costa Rica when I retired to, you know, everyone knows I Googled how to be successful, .. and happy, because isn't that what everyone does? And as I shared many times, what I learned was literally like mind blowing, a game changer for me, which is I read a study from Carnegie Institute back from 1910. That talks about Carnegie was very into right success and performance. He invested heavily in it. And they were actually starting a university for engineers, and they wanted to do a lot of research around how do you successfully learn, change, and grow? What amazing research that would be, right? That is what we are all here doing every single day. So article into paper, into research paper, I find myself reading this on the beach in Costa Rica. And it says, at the end of this study, the researchers concluded that there were three key factors to success in the ability to learn, change, and grow. One, environment, knowledge, like what, where you were, what you knew. Two, skill. Either you have them or you can acquire them, really straightforward. Three, mindset, your psychology, your personal psychology, your identity, your belief set, et cetera. And I thought, yeah, I read a couple of those books. It's all good. I get it. And then I read the next line, which like smacked me in the face hard. And it was, of those three factors, mindset is 85% responsible for our success and our ability to learn, change, and grow. And I thought, oh, well, maybe there's something to this. Maybe that's why I have success, but I don't seem to be able to enjoy it and my life at the level and with the fullness that I want to. I think I'll look into this. And so began, as we all know, years of research and Limitless. This is why we don't set down the lollipop, because we are conditioned not to. Our job is to interrupt that conditioning, to create new and better conditioning. You can't do it unless you understand what's happening. There is a science to success. Behavioral psychology, neuroscience, peak performance, all have really over the last 5, 10, and even 5 years centered around the merits of Harvard Mind Body Institute, how much our mindset and psychology plays in our success. So by the time we're about 35 years old, we are 95% hardwired thought and behavior habits, right? Just neural pathways, circuits in our brain, like an operating system that have been set in our childhood and then conditioned and reinforced over the course of our lives. Mindset as a definition is just an established set of attitudes held by you or me. It's our way of thinking. It's our kind of thought identity, if you will. If you believe that everyone is out to get you, everyone will be out to get you. If you believe that the world is a positive, optimistic place, you will be luckier. You will feel luckier and more blessed than the average person. So it's really about how do we understand our mindset so that we have agency over it, that we can really, instead of being in that, you know, all this stuff sits between me and the success and the happiness and the joy that I want to experience, how do we feel clear and conscious and empowered to take action, knowing that when we do, things will improve and change, because that's the belief system we've developed about ourselves and how we show up. So one of the biggest issues is that we don't end up trusting ourselves, which we're going to talk about. So I had to dive into this research and I thought, oh, I really have to know. And it feels a little bit woo-woo and soft. And so I need facts, right? Because I was one of those like type A control people. I didn't do any of that. Liz is laughing now, but I did none of that woo-woo stuff back then. There was no soft to Stephanie. And if you've seen my financial planning magazine cover, I'm like, hi, I'm so awesome. They were like, look like you know something people don't. And I said,
it was a dark cover.
I said, I do know something people don't. Yeah, that's okay. We can research. I said it in a nice way. It's funny. So the whole point here is what I learned was we have one brain, which we all know, but we have two minds. We have our conscious mind, what we like to call the Einstein mind, right? It's your cognitive thinking, logical, rational. I'm going to double my revenue and take twice as much time off. What are the levers I'm going to need to pull? How am I going to pull them, right? Think behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz. It's the CEO executive function of your brain. It sits right here in your prefrontal cortex. This is your conscious mind. It lives in the present. It's future focused, and it's powered by logic and reason. This is the mind we want to engage with on a regular basis. The issue is the research, the science, the neuroscience says that we spend on average 70% or more of our day in a stress state. In the back of our brain, where our limbic system, right, and our amygdala lives, this is the oldest part of our brain evolutionarily. And it's the part that has one job. Gretchen, do you know what that job is? Don't die. Don't die. My job is when you wake up to make sure that we go to bed tonight alive. And the issue is that this part is subconscious. It's running the show, right? And you're unconscious, right? Making sure that your heart pumps and your, right, your lungs breathe. This is the subconscious part that does that kind of automatic piloting, but in your thought realm, not in your physical realm. Interestingly, this is also the part of your brain that is programmed by your past, those childhood experiences, right? Big moments that had a very positive or very negative emotional impact on you get locked into your brain, and your brain says, how do we get more of this? How do we avoid this? Let's do things and deploy strategies to stay alive. We're not hiding from hungry tigers. It might be our parents or a teacher or a little league coach or the kids on the playground. And you don't have to be a broken human. The science says that everyone, all humans are susceptible to this. Unless, here's the only exception, if you feel special, unless you are a sociopath or a psychopath, because you have no frame of reference or care for others. Like it just doesn't happen the same way. Every one of us is governed by these two minds. What's really interesting is that subconscious mind is powered by emotion, and it's hardwired for survival, which is why we love to think that we're logical, factual beings. But even though all those reports tell your clients they're okay, their caveman brain is saying, no, it's not. When I grew up, money was a problem. Therefore, I will face the world through the lens of money is a problem. I have to be worried about it. And you have clients that are incredibly abundant. They're like, we lost $500,000. It's all right. We'll make it up again. Right? Their relationship, their belief system around money and what it takes to earn it is fundamentally different than the other person. And in the same environment, walking down the same street, they're going to have two entirely different experiences. There is a before and an after. Would you agree? Like when you really, like we all kind of know this, it's around, it's becoming much more popular and prevalent. We spend a lot of time talking about it in our space. Mm-hmm. But I always feel like there's like a line of demarcation. For me, it was that day on the beach where I was like, oh, I have some levers I can pull here. Did you?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was Limitless that did that. And to kind of answer indirectly the question that that Patrick asked in the CBET chat of the distinction that you made about by age 35, how 95% of them are wired. I think the big breakthrough that I want everybody on this call and in this program to understand is the science of neuroplasticity that is not set in stone. Yep. All of those neuropathways are written in pencil, not marker, not pen.
They're not, right? Tattoos.
Exactly. Now, there is a method on how you go about changing that and how you essentially literally rewire your brain, which we're going to talk about over the course of today. And it's the foundation and fundamental base camp. If that's why, yeah, base camp is what it is, because everything that we're going to talk about, either directly or indirectly, is going to require you to think differently about, yeah, your practice.
Yeah. If you don't have that foundation, you're going to build up, yeah, and it's going to crash down. And Patrick, I think, had a question about that. Did she say by age 35, we are 95% pre-programmed conditioning? Yes, I did. Adam hit on the answer to your question, which we really want to highlight is, and this is a recent discovery, yeah, right? This is like Carol Dweck in the 70s, which seems like a long time ago, but in the history of humanity, not so much, where they realized that we are not set identities and personalities, that they are malleable. And that's where, right, cognitive behavioral, yeah, therapy, right? So that's where therapies evolve from. And coaching, right, is a forward focus, not a healing focus. So that's the difference between like therapy, where you're going back and you're doing healing because those pathways and the belief systems weren't developed in a positive, constructive, healthy way that you process. And coaching is focused forward, like, hey, where do we operate from? And there's this, the issues. And sometimes it's a habit, like, oh, just change your habit. if Liz and I have a call with someone over a period of time and that doesn't work, those external strategies, it means there's some inner work that's right, resistance between that. And if you do that, sometimes it goes away quick. Sometimes you have to, right, 4, 8, 12 calls if you want to go deeper. And really, if you don't get on the other side of something or see meaningful progress, it might mean that there are, right, underlying things that you really want to go into, you know, like CBT therapy or something to really work out. And we'll talk a lot more about that at the March retreat because I've been through all of that and continue to go through. But that's the work that we do, is we want to constantly challenge ourselves to be aware of what mind is leading the show. We have on average 60,000 thoughts a day. My husband will tell you I have more. 80% of them, if you're like the rest of us, are negative. They're negative. And 95% of those are running on a constant replay loop in your mind. And when we're in that space, we don't stop and respond. That response able is what responsible means. Hey, what's happening? Where is the gap? What's the deficiency this is creating and how I feel and how things work? How am I going to account for and address that gap from a clear and conscious? Oh, I might need to make some changes. What would those be? How can I best go about them? Let's create a course of action that we can clearly follow through on. We don't tend to do that. We tend to go, bah, I feel overwhelmed. Fix this. Stop that. Do that. Hire this person. So complicated.
I had to squash that tiger last week. Yeah. I mean, it.
We all, and it's a good point. It, like, this is not like a box that you check and then you're done. We will talk more about this year. It's like the stock market. You'll go through a phase where you up level and you're like, I've got this mindset thing. And then life's like, haha, you get an external challenge, right? And if you don't address them, they compound. And then you're like, oh, wait, this doesn't feel good. I know better than this. And you pull back and you've got to get clear and grounded. You have to say, hey, can't change and grow if I'm not responsible. What's happening? What stories are leading the way? How am I showing up? Does this serve me? Is there a tax that I'm not really being conscious of? So the idea is we're going to sit in the space of our brain and that automated programming. Our brains take in 11 million bits of information a second. But we can only consciously process 40 bips. There's like a 10,990,000 plus gap. How do we survive? And that's because our brain is both lazy and efficient. Pick your poison. It develops shortcuts, hacks. They're called internal representations of reality in the research world. We like to call them BS, belief systems. It says, if I do this, if there's something on the carpet, mom might walk in at 2 a.m. and wake you up and make you clean the whole house. True story, right? So what do we learn? We must keep everything perfect and neat and tidy, because if we don't, we might get awoken at 2 a.m. and that's no fun. Now, many of your examples won't be that extreme. Some of them will be worse, right? We had a client once who was really in a situation. She was a partner in a firm. She was incredibly competent and she shrunk in every partner's meeting. She's like, I just don't know how to show up and speak my mind without it. Or I do in a way and it goes maybe not the way that I want. And it turns out she grew up, her mother died, her brother spiraled. That created a lot of stress and strife and challenge for her dad. And so what did she decide as a child? What was her? I'll be the good girl. I'll be the easy, pleasant one that doesn't make anything difficult. And I'll show up that way the whole rest of my life. And then you get to a place where shrinking yourself becomes the standard and you can't advocate for yourself. And if you're constantly living in that space, guess what happens? Breakdowns and dysfunction, because you can't constantly be in service of others and not get your needs met. Because we're all ever trying to do, what these belief systems are hardwired to do, is help us get our needs met. The problem is we're so busy, we're so distracted, we're so out of touch with ourselves, with our thinking and our inner world, that we don't even know what our needs are. It's not, oh my God, I have to get through that task list, or I have to do this or else. It's, who am I? How am I showing up? How am I in service of my clients and my team and my work today? Am I in a happy, positive space? Would I want to be doing what I was doing if the world were watching? Would the world feel good? Would I feel proud if they knew how I was feeling? And this is a question that we ask ourselves a lot here. And the answers aren't always easy, by the way. But that's the work, to be a responsible enough person, to be a committed enough person to that why that draws you to the best, fullest, happiest version of yourself. And by the way, when you do that, work gets easy and awesome. How do we shift those gears? Because you're hardwired to focus on the negative by a factor of 7 to 1. You're like basically out of luck. Your brain is hardwired against you. But if we know these things, if we know that we spend an average of 70% of our time in a stressed out survival state, you're going to hear those phrases a lot. Are we in stress state, caveman mode, below the line? Are we in Einstein, right? Confident, we call it kick-assery around here. We're above the line. We're clear. We're positive, empowered. We're conscious. We know what to do next. Go us. Everything is figure outable. That's the state. That is not autopilot. So how many times during the day will you go, you'll have a break in your day and you immediately go to email? That's autopilot. That's your brain saying, I'm not clear on what I need to do next. I have a lack of intention. I don't have a system to support me. I need an easy way to feel good and productive. There's a little bit of dopamine in that email. I'll just go do something quick. And an hour and 20 minutes later, you're like, oh,
what just happened?
I'm not going to do that tomorrow. Here's the problem. All those things I just told you mean, whether you like it or not, that tomorrow you are 95% likely to act the way you did today, to think, behave, and feel today. And today you're 95% likely to feel the way you felt yesterday. That 5% is what we've got to work with. The biggest value that we can add to you this whole year is to help you sit in that 5%. And grow it to 6% and 16% and 26% and 50%. Because the more time you sit in that space, you're going to be clear. You're going to be conscious and you're going to be confident, not because everything's going to be perfect. This is a mindset shift number one, but because you know that you can handle it all and fail and foible and focus forward, learn from it. We like to say around here, we do not fail. We learn or we grow. I said it to myself a lot last year, especially, which we'll talk about hard. I don't fail. I win or I learn. Massive shift when you grew up thinking that everything had to be perfect or really bad things were going to happen. Like massive shift. So here are the belief systems that we go through. So beliefs are preconceived mental models. Think of like a software system, right? You upload the software. That's whether you like it or not, agree with it or not. That's what all the research says happens to us as kids. 0 to 7, you have no ego. So if I walk up to Adam and I'm like, you're ugly and you smell funny.
So do you.
Thank you. Right? He'd be like, whatever.
I feel as a 7-year-old, that's like this game, right?
If I call you up and you don't know me and I say, I'm never calling you again. Someone randomly called you and said that, you'd be like, all right,
okay,
great. If it was a friend, you'd be like, oh, and then your stories would kick in. Either like, I'm calm and I'm clear and we're just going to figure this out. Maybe Bob's having a bad day. Or
one of your best clients doesn't return an email that you sent or a phone call that you sent. What's the first thing that our mind goes to? Oh, I'm going to get the ACAT.
Yeah.
Oh, I did something wrong. Yeah. I'm going to wait for the transfer out, right? We automatically go to that worst case scenario.
Largest client calls, leaves a message. You don't know why. I'm getting fired.
Yep.
Is not the answer. The answer is, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. They gave me all of their hard-earned money and said, please take care of it and me. And I need to be able to call you when I need something. And Nathan said, not a problem. I will be your guy. And they're calling. We did not say, and I will shrink in fear when you do. We implied that we should show up as a clear, conscious, confident advisor and be like, of course I'm here for you. How can I be of service? And your mindset should be, go me. This is when I earn my real trust equity. Yeah. When I show up and I'm, even if it's a challenge or it's tough, my job is to sit in that space. So understand that these IRRs, these belief systems, internal representations, occur completely outside our awareness. Gretchen is not sitting in her office and her brain's like, hey, Gretchen, by the way, I'm putting this story in between you and a really good decision, you know, but go ahead and do the right thing. It happens in a fifth of a second from when your brain takes in information, because those 11 million bits are processing and we got to keep things moving. So these systems are the shortcuts, the operating system, like a computer that just go ahead and do all the work of every experience Gretchen's ever had. And it says, Gretchen, based on all of that and our filter of our belief systems, here's what it's going to mean to you. this is the biggest discovery in behavioral science in over 100 years, and it really matters. This will shift everything. You skipped
it. I thought you were teeing it up.
I'm so teeing it up.
I missed it.
We're meaning-making machines. Write that down. I am a meaning-making machine. Events have zero meaning, none, not a zip, except for the meaning we give them, right? Largest client calls, leaves a message, brain goes to caveman mode. We're going to, right? It's going to go bad. Get ready, gear up, stress chemicals, adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol start to flood your system, which automatically shut down your brain. If you believe differently, so that's our job, is to sit in this space and say, what is the meaning I'm giving this event? Why am I giving that meaning? And is that the meaning I'm going to consciously choose? I'm going to do some work to retrain, right, that recreate that story into a new, better, more empowering story. Your stories define your level of success. I cannot tell you how many highly successful people that I have consulted and coached who hit a certain level of success and stopped, literally plateau, because somewhere in their background was a mom or a dad or someone saying, people on, you know, those people with money are bad or selfish or wrong, right? We're good and worthy because, you know, we don't sell our souls for the, whatever those stories are. And it's fascinating because when you start to surface those stories and get conscious of them and shift them into a higher gear, do you know what happens every single time? The up level.
You can't help but be successful.
You cannot help but be successful. And your brain is hardwired to create the success that you believe is possible, which is why our job is to create more possibility. It's why of all the titles I could have chosen, I chose Chief Possibility Officer, because I was like, this is what it's all about. Alex Hanold, who I think is the coolest person on the planet. Does anybody know him? He's a free solo climber. He's the one that does like El Capitan, no ropes, just his fingertips and some boots. So there's a great documentary that he did, which I highly recommend everyone
watch. Oscar.
It won an Oscar. Yes. And he talks about this moment where he had to put his fear in a box and put it away. He's hanging by his fingertips on, it makes my heart, literally, my heart is racing just thinking about it. Our brains automatically kick in, right? Like, oh my gosh. And he just sits it on a shelf and up the mountain he goes. And we struggle with a client call, a fee, a niche. Like, I'm like, really? But that's how powerful our brains are. But that's also how much agency that we have over them. What's essentially happening in those split seconds, your brain is kicking in and your caveman is saying, you're going to be eaten by a hungry lion and you're going to die. You're going to lose all your clients. You're going to go bankrupt. No one's ever going to work with you again. You can't do that or bad things will happen. Your brain is designed to avoid risk, threat, and danger. And what it hears is anything new, different, or uncomfortable is bad. We know there might not be all the berries we want. There might not, right? But we know exactly how to survive in this environment. Your brain is not waking up every day unless you train it to and saying, how do we thrive today? How do we find the mountain? How do we go to that new and better place? So we want to make sure that we're really clear is that everything we're doing is to avoid this at some level. We are all just trying to get our needs met. And if you're overwhelmed, the need is not to clear your task list, because it will be there tomorrow and tomorrow and your relationship with it won't change. The need is to have, fill in your blank, a calm, orderly, positive energy work environment where I need to feel empowered and energized at work. That's how I need to feel. And if that need is so clear in yourself, you will make changes, because if that's what you believe, you and your brain will be like, it doesn't fit with my identity. I've got to fix it. So this really is an identity shifting program. How do we help you understand what is above the line for you and what's below the line? You're going to hear us talk about this a lot in a lot of different ways this year. But the basic idea is, if you draw a line across a page, and you write a plus at the top of it and a minus at the bottom, success state and stress state. This is a simple visual, but I want you to remember it. 70%+ of the time, that was pre-COVID, that study. So I suspect it might be higher for many people. 70%+ of the time, we're in stress state. We're below the line. And below the line is adrenaline, noradrenaline, cortisol. It's fear, uncertainty, doubt, anxiety, stress, blame, diminishment, lack, shrinking ourselves, anger, judgment, blame, resentment, none of which serves us. They're just strategies that we hold on to because we think they're filling a need. They're keeping us safe. They're keeping us alive. Where we thrive, where we have joy and well-being and abundance, creativity and big ideas and inspirations and positive days is success state. That's where all the good stuff lives. So our number one job this year is to learn, A, what's my line? How can I check in with it? Am I above the line in success state? I'm clear, I'm focused, I'm positive, right? Energized, or am I in stress state? Even if it's when you start to just notice it, that's, we'll talk through time to start addressing it. I have strategies. I'll be like, oh, I call it the whirly wheel. I feel the whirly wheel again. I'm like, oh, okay. And when I don't, there's hell to pay. Little bits of hell, medium bits of hell, big bits of hell. Honest answer, depending on how much we let it compound, because here's the second part of that really important conversation. You may not like to hear it, guys, especially. We're feeling beings. That's how our brain is motivated. Good feelings and bad feelings. Neutrals, right? A good place to be. We tend to wake up there and very quickly shift into our natural condition set. If you are naturally above the line, you will often wake up above the line. If you're right now conditioned to be below the line, you're going to wake up, grab your phone, start, you know, oh my God, what about this? I got to get the kids. Like, notice that, right? So our job is to be aware. I call it minding your line. And how do we stay in that success state more of the time? Because when we get there, we take agency. Oh, I'm on the whirly wheel. My ability to define it means I am no longer it. Now it is something separate from me that I, as right, a free 18-year-old, 18, I'll be 50 this year, over 18-year-old, I am averaging down at this point. Don't harsh me. So this is something we're going to talk about in a lot of different ways, but this is a core concept of what we want to cover. We are feeling beings. That's how we make all of our decisions. The issue is we don't acknowledge and accept that a lot of the time, and we work over our feelings. You don't want to do that. Don't do that. Here's why. What is your brain, your body, if you believe in soul or spirit, I'm going to throw that in. What's the way that it can communicate with you? Because it doesn't have a memo. It can't email you. Dear Liz, you're overdoing it. Slow the heck down. Isn't coming from inside. What is our indicator system? Feelings. That's what it is. If you're feeling happy and joyful and positive, that is your brain, your spirit's way of saying, do that. It's energy creating. It's elevating you. It's loving you, supporting you, giving you joy. That's when we're our best for everyone else, by the way. And anytime we feel anxious, nervous, scared, all those below the line feelings, the second that we feel them, our job is to sit in that space and acknowledge and address them. Even if you have to deal with it later, you can, little coaching strategy, put this over here on the shelf. You can acknowledge, I'm going to save that for later so your brain can let it go. Because lots of times it doesn't want to let it go. How do we not work over our feelings? Because we tell ourselves, I'll work a little harder. I'll work a little longer. I'll take on one more client to get a little revenue. I'll. And those are just excuses. I mean that with love. I know because I'm human too. Mm-hmm. They're strategies that we use to stay safe. But the problem is staying safe means we can't expand and grow. So here are some of the limiting beliefs that you might have experienced. These are the five most common in the world of coaching. Mistakes are bad or wrong, which make me bad or wrong. When you're a kid and I say to you, why are you doing that? Don't do that. That's wrong. The first five times I might be like, okay, that is wrong. But what happens if that happens in a critical, non-constructive way over and over and over again? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. At some point, your child brain goes, not it's wrong. It goes, I'm wrong. Not, hey, that grown-up might not be being reasonable or healthy. It goes, I'm wrong. And then we start to believe, oh, every time I get feedback, it must mean I'm wrong. Therefore, I don't like feeling that way. I'm going to be really defensive when I get feedback, right? These are the ways that it shows up in our lives. Two, I have to be blank. You have a blank. For me, it was perfect and pleasing. If I am perfect, and I rock every single thing that I do with no room for improvement, everything will be okay. I will be loved and accepted, and I will belong, and I will get all the love and assurance that I feel like I so desperately need. Nope, didn't work out that way. Right? We have to be okay with who we are. We have to give ourselves the love, acceptance, and belonging that we need, and then enjoy relationships with people who can share that with us, not seek it in other people, in those strategies, in the clean house, in the whatever it is for you. Three, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve that level of success. If you start to think about a beautiful life, body, business, and it feels uncomfortable where you like can't quite get there, there is a worthiness issue. That's not just you, by the way. There's some level of that resonant in most humans, because you can have happy, healthy, loving parents, and it doesn't mean that that little eyeball roll or the little league teacher or the bully on the school playground did not have a profound impact on your psyche as a child. Your brain is forming at such a rapid rate that those things really stick. I'm not important. I'm not loved. Huge. And fifth, which is really some version of all of the other ones, and there's a great YouTube by Britain's number one therapist who is really awesome. I've spent some time with her. Her name's Marissa Peer. And the name of the YouTube video is something along the lines of not enoughness is the number one disease in the world. And she works with like movie stars and political leaders. And she's like, you would be amazed if you have everyone write out, I am enough every day for a while, suddenly things get better. Not enoughness is the number one disease that we all suffer from. When something goes wrong, we immediately tend to beat ourselves up, or we blame other people to get away from that feeling, none of which serves us. So take a moment to really just check in and think through which of these might be showing up for you. Here's how they might show up for some of you. I can't charge or charge more for planning. I can't focus on a niche. Can't do that. Remember, you had three when we started.
Yep.
If I do that or charge that or say that, my clients will leave me in revolt. I love this one. All clients are good clients. All yeses are good yeses. Yes is the only way to win is a sure way to fail in business. And a very popular one, this might be familiar to some of you, I'm an imposter, and at any moment, they're going to find me out, right? So identify and share, so we're going to be talking about this in a little bit, beliefs. Some beliefs help. Hey, I'm awesome, I'm smart, I'm capable. Some beliefs hinder. I can't, I shouldn't, I don't know how. I'm not good enough. What if they find me out? Our job is to just tune in and ask ourselves, if we're not accomplishing something that we wanted to accomplish for a little while, and we're smart and we're capable, we have resources, which is check all those boxes. There's really never an excuse not to. It means that there's something standing between us, a thought habit, a behavior habit, a business habit, and all of those derive from our thought habits. Thought habits are our belief systems. Our job is to interrupt the pattern loop. Right? And willpower is garbage. Mel Robbins has this great quote. I love it so much. She's like, willpower is garbage. It only lasts 3 days, and it's never there when you need it. Mm-hmm. And it's true. According to the research, it lasts about 3 days, right? And about 3 days in, that energy, willpower that you've used is gone. You've had to make a bunch of choices against your normal habit routine. And if you don't have the systems in place to support that, in about 3 days, you are right back to your default, because that is the path of least resistance for your brain. So now it's about creating a state of being. Important things to know, coaching insights. Most people in some way, shape, or form live behind four walls: protecting, proving, hiding, and defending. Might use one, the other, or some combination, but that guardedness, when you're like, oh no, the client called, I have to go check. That is not right, clear, conscious, and ready to go. That is like protecting and proving and defending. We're going to make sure that we've got our ducks in a row. Conditional living. Oh, the thief of all joy, comparison and conditions. When this happens, then I will be happy. When this happens, I will be okay. When this happens, I feel safe and secure. BS. When you decide to make that your priority, when you decide that feeling good and clear and conscious is your number one priority, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters except how you show up for it. So watch for that conditional living. my husband cannot drive behind slow people. He can't. And he like, we talk about it.
I can't do that.
I love it, but I'm like, oh, I get to practice my patience. I do. I'm like, okay, I can be calm and clear, and I can acknowledge that other person might be doing something, or a slower driver, or they might not be as comfortable as me.
They may have a different reason, but I don't want it to impact me.
Exactly. And that's conditional living. If you would just get out of my way and let me go at the speed I want, I would be happy and things would go the way I want them to. But you're messing with my definition of reality and I don't like it. So, and he's like, he doesn't do anything bad, but he's always like in Costa Rica, because it's so, oh my God, people drive like 5 miles an hour. And he was just like 8 years. He's like, and I'm like, they're not changing. You know, it's been like 8 years, right? And you're still like, I try to explain to him, I'm like, this is conditional living. Like, if traffic is flowing, I feel good. If traffic is not flowing, I feel bad is a really crappy way to live. Because no matter what, nobody else in the world is going around trying to make your life perfect. They're trying to get their needs met, which means there's always going to be someone or something sticking in your craw. And if you let yourself, that's what you will focus on. That's where your energy will go, and it will steal your joy. We're ego-driven, right? If they would just act the way I want, this is great with our kids, by the way. Damon would be like, why are they doing it that way? I'm like, because they're kids. And he's like, but we've told them that they're kids. You're going to tell them 50,000 times, right? If everything would go the way I want, if my version of reality, if everyone would just get on board, everything would be great and I would be happy. Go us. The problem is I think that, and Adam thinks that, and my husband thinks that, and my kids think that, and yours, you know, so if everybody's got that view, everybody's competing to get our needs met. That is a breakdown in all relationships, right? So this is not just going to affect your relationship with yourself, which is what you're all experiencing, by the way. You thought you came for business methods and you're going to get more than you can handle. It's going to be awesome. But what you really came to address, and congratulations, you should celebrate this, even if it makes you uncomfortable, is breakdowns and dysfunctions in your relationship with yourself. Because there's something that you want more of and better of and to experience, and you haven't gone out and done it. You can't, you don't want to, and you've sat in the space of saying, I'm going to get my need met. I'm going to figure it out. And I think this is a good place to do it. We agree with you, but I think this is why this is such a good place to do it, is because we're going to go through these concepts in ways that are going to
need two mouse.
I need two mouses. Mice me too. Nope, there's no me. So our job this year and over the course of today, and obviously the next, 9, 10, 11, 12 months, so what month is it, is to retrain our brain. It's not airy fairy. It's not woo woo. You have tracks in your brain the way that water runs down a hill. And the more in Costa Rica we get those, remember those huge crevasses, because the track is the default. It's the path of least resistance. If I'm not good enough is the path you've been telling yourself for 37 years, it's not going to change tomorrow. You have to get aware of it. You have to say, actually, I'm not only just good enough. I am kick-assery. I'm clear and I'm confident. I'm going to do some amazing stuff. So here's a crash course in how to retrain your brain for greater success and well-being.
You took it back.
So over the year, we're going to cover the 7 mindsets of success, clarity and focus, right? What do you really want? More importantly, why do you really want it? Do you want it because you think you're supposed to have it and that's what you're conditioned to believe? Did that for a while, does not make you happy. Don't go to the beach and Google how to be happy. Just be aware of this stuff. Value, know what your value of your work is. Worth is your personal value. And when you know that, everything else gets a lot easier, right? What's your relationship to money? What are your, right? What's your mindset around relationships? Can people be trusted and counted on, or maybe not so? What about leverage? Do you think you have to do everything yourself? Or are you able to really let go to people, processes, platforms, so that you can, right, sit in the seat of highest and best use? And what's your relationship with time, right? What's your mindset and belief system around it? And we're going to fundamentally shift that, right? Am I worth it? Will they say yes? Can I say no? Are not going to be things that are foreign or unknown to you. At the end of the year, you're going to know what's happening, why it's happening, and strategies for how to address it. All right, so step one is we have to shift the voices, shift the conversation with the voices in our head. Here's the issue. It's true for you, me, Adam, everyone on the call, certainly for your clients. we see us, you see me, but we're not, I'm not engaging with you. I'm engaging with you and all the voices sitting at the table with you going, what about this? Or, hey, that's a nice background. Or I wish you would have said this, or what about that? Or this doesn't apply to me. I'm too cool for all that feeling stuff. I'll just get the systems from Limitless and I won't worry. Like, okay, great, man. Do whatever you need to do. Step one is you have to know that there are conversations. I have voices in my head. I talk to myself. Like, what's that movie? I See People. We hear people. You have conversations with the voices in your head. The question is, what's the quality of those conversations? And when you elevate the quality of those conversations, I tell you unequivocally, you will elevate the quality of your life and your business will have no choice but to come right along with it.
Be careful what you tell yourself. You're listening.
Exactly. So one, we're going to go through, you're going to go through some exercises today, but this is a general thing you can do at any time, right? Take out your piece of paper, draw your line. So you're in the middle of your day. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're like, wait, I'm not going to check email. I'm going to mind my line, right? Draw a line, plus or minus. What's working? Hey, right now, you can do this right in your head, but it's nice to start with a physical exercise because you're laying new tracks, a new default system for your brain to follow, right? We're not going left, we're going right. We're going to lay this road one brick at a time. And the more you do that, eventually, it's like that turn at the train. You pull the lever and the default is no longer you're not good enough or freak out because the client called. The default is, I got this. Or it takes 7 seconds or 7 minutes instead of like never getting there. You're like, hold on a minute. Is this really true? No, it's not. Okay, I got this. Below the line is what's not working. And then we ask ourselves, what are our beliefs about what's below the line? I can't get through all my email. I've got all this client work to do. What's my belief? What's the meaning that I'm giving it? Almost always some version of, I have no control over this because of some belief system. And that's key number one, is recognizing that we do have control over it. So we're going to go through a lot of different strategies this year. Liz is going to take us through an exercise in just a couple of minutes. The most important thing is that you learn pattern interrupt. That's the moment that you go, oh, wait, I don't feel good. That's literally the indicator. That's it. That's how big and sexy and complicated, sophisticated it is. I don't feel good. I feel a little stressed out. I feel a little overwhelmed. I'm a little nervous. I don't want to have that conversation with so-and-so. Oh, I don't feel good. I must be below the line. Okay. Take that breath. What's going on here? Right. So we'll talk again more and more strategies, but your job is to take a closer look at your beliefs. What do you want? And what's the story you have about why you don't have it? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if there was not a story in your head about why you don't have that big why practice, you'd already have it. You would already have it because you're smart and you're bright and you're capable and you've already done a bunch of stuff, which means you can obviously do more other stuff. What in this belief, if it's I'm not good enough or I can, or if I double, I won't have any time, what's the benefit? You will only hold a belief if it serves you. It keeps you safe. It helps you survive. It keeps bad things from happening. How is it serving you? Being perfect has served me. I'm not perfect, by the way, but in the beginning, I was like, oh, I'll just run this perfect business. And that's how we built the brand for being so awesome, as I was just so driven to make sure that we did everything. But there's a cost to that, right? So it served me because I got validated and I got successful and I made a bunch of money and people respected me. Like, well, why wouldn't I do that? Like, duh, like, yeah, more of that, please. That's way better than that other stuff I'm trying to avoid. My needs are getting met. But the problem is there's always, as my therapist friend says, she works with kids. She's awesome. She's like, she specializes in drug addiction and she tells her clients all the time, I think it applies to all of us. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want. You just don't get to have all that fun for free. I say that to myself all the time, right? What's it costing you to be in email 3.6 hours a day on average? That's what the studies say. 3.6 hours a day. What's it costing you to not feel like you're proactively reaching out to your clients with the level of service that you want to provide them? What's it costing you to feel overwhelmed, stressed out, underpaid all the time? What's it serving? And it will not be here if it doesn't serve you in some way. This is the get honest with yourself part. This is the harder part because our brains are hardwired, you now know, to focus on the problem, not the possibility. Largest client called, could go bad. Gird your loins. The tiger's coming. Not, yeah, it's going to be amazing. He's bringing pizza. That's not what our brain says. Right. So we want to sit in that space of, well, how is it serving me? But also on the other side, our brains will focus on the obstacle, not the opportunity. You must, it's like algebra. Do you remember algebra? Both sides of the equation must balance. Your brain just balances quickly and without training the problem side of the equation. It doesn't say, hey, if you turn this client away, the COI will respect you when you have the how, why you did this conversation, and you're only going to work with ideal clients and you're going to get to your goal 2.2 months faster. Your brain does not tell you that. If it did, you wouldn't do those things. Those compromises wouldn't happen. So get really clear on what is costing you, and we'll talk about the four-step process to basically create new and better stories. So we want to create awareness. We want to be in our feeling state. We want to catch and create new stories. So let me go back. So awareness. What's the thing we most want to be aware of? How do we know something's wrong? That there's feeling. I don't feel great. Otherwise, you should be energized and enthusiastic about your day.
And the action that you're doing because of that feeling.
Oh, I've got those client meetings. Yeah. Oh, what does that tell you? That you don't find client meetings to be energy creating, or those particular client meetings, which means what? We soldier up and knuckle through it for 5 more years. That doesn't mean we do the client meeting from the best place today. And then later we sit down and say, what? Why don't I get excited about that? And do I want to spend the next 25 years of my life not getting excited about that? There must be a solution. It doesn't mean you have to change everything tomorrow. It means you need to take responsibility for not feeling, for the way you feel, and for loving, respecting, and trusting yourself enough to do something about it. Awareness. I don't feel the way I want to feel. Two, that's your feeling state. Okay, can I shift into that feeling state requires catch and correct. Catch and correct is I caught myself. That is the hardest thing to do, by the way. So if you just notice it, that's like 90% of the battle. The rest is following through. Hey, I noticed that when this client calls, I feel this. Why, you know, what? Okay, how do I want to feel? Hey, I don't want to feel afraid. Is it really? So we're going to talk through those exercises, right? One, is it really true? What's happening is the question I always ask. What's happening is I've got this. I got an email from so-and-so. And in this moment, I'm feeling X. Okay, two, events only have the meanings we give them. Is it really true? Usually a couple of deep breaths right about that point. I'm like, no, that's the old story, right? That email is the digging in and working hard. That was my personal story. If you just ground it out, everything would be okay. If we just clean the house at 2 a.m, it would be all right, right? Hard work and long hours. Sweat equity was the answer to everything. One of the answers to things being okay, right? Is it really true? No, being clear and conscious and having clients that support my vision and charging fees that really reflect the value and allow me to be profitable. That's actually the standard I need to hold myself to. Okay, right? Three, what's the limiting story? Limiting story is this client's called and I'm going to get fired because I'm always bad or wrong. Okay, what's the new and better story? What am I choosing? What tracks am I laying? I am a valued and trusted advisor. I told the clients they can call me and count on me. I'm going to show up in that space. I'm going to do some kick-assery. If that client's unhappy, I'm going to hear, I'm going to listen, I'm going to validate, I'm going to understand, I'm going to inform and educate. I'm not going to defend and blood. I'm going to sit in that awesome space that I get paid the big bucks to sit in, and I'm going to help the client through it. And if I determine for any reason that they're not a good fit, I'm going to help them out. And at the end of it, I'm going to feel good and proud about how I showed up and that I was aligned with my business and my belief systems, right? Catch, correct. New and better story. So we'll talk again more about this as we go through the year, but literally physical cues, right? I click a button on my hand. Literally, I'm like, click. Oh, what's the story? And right. You literally build physical cues into your brain. We'll talk about atomic habits. Yeah. It's basically like it helps you lay those bricks faster and anchor them better. When you have like, if you're in a meeting, you can squeeze your left leg and squeeze your, like, somebody just interrupted me. Nobody cares about what I think. Catch, squeeze the left leg. Hold on a minute. That's the old story. That shrinks me and disempowers me. Do I really believe that's true? No. Okay, what's the new story? I need to find, right, clear and constructive ways to share my views in a way that I feel heard. Yeah. Okay, that's my work. So that's a very simple process just to kick us off. And again, we're going to talk a lot more about this over the course of the year. Liz will be on Mindset Office Hours. I'll be joining at times. We're going to do tribe talks. We're going to have more calls around this in our personal calls each month, but it's really about raising your awareness. So we're going to talk about rituals and routines in a little bit as we talk about time and personal accountability. There's an amazing Hal Elrod TED Talk on morning routines. He's the morning miracle guy, if anyone is familiar with him. He just went through something really bad happened and he got through it, and then he got cancer and he was supposed to die and he just got through that. So I was like, hey, morning routines must have some really awesome juice in them.
Some merit there.
To that, man. So he's super inspiring. He's got a book called, again, we'll talk more about this. Morning routines, just as a hack, are the most powerful way. Meditation, morning routines, mindfulness activities are the most powerful way. It's why meditation is so powerful, to creating that level of awareness and presence so that you can sit in that space.
The first hour of your morning is the rudder to your day.
Yep. How you set your day, how you start your day is how you set your day. My son has decided that he's got these really big goals. He's 15 and he's been listening to these podcasts and I'm so excited because he thinks it's all him, right? And he's got this little journal and he gets up every morning. He's nice. Nice. He's done it since January 1. He's beating most adults at this point. He gets up every morning in this book and he writes, you guys are going to laugh. I am a billionaire. I'm going to do this. I'm like, you go, you just be happy, man.
Right.
So I was like, hey, I am not going to poo-poo. Like, he's 15, right? But I was like, look, the habits that you're building. And he's like, well, I feel overwhelmed. It's so far away. Same conversation I have with you. I was like, look, we got to start with little stuff. Like if you say I got to make $1 billion, it seems impossible. If you say I got to make $5,000 or $100 a week, that's entirely different. So those morning routines are very important. And we'll talk a lot more about them. Ask better questions. You get better answers. Part of that awareness is just asking yourself better questions. You're like, how am I going to do all that? Your brain's like, I don't know. You're probably not. If you say, what will it take to 2X my income in half the time? Notice that I gave my brain a set of guardrails that it's got to stay in. And your brain is a curiosity problem solving machine. The problem is we're asking it to solve really crappy problems. How am I going to do that is entirely different than, hey, what's it going to take? What would it take to get, so people are like, oh, I need to grow. I don't know what to do. It's so overwhelming. And I'm like, what would it take to get a referral from your top 10 clients and COIs in the next 90 days? And I swear every time within like 10 minutes, it's like, well, I could do this or we could do this or we could do that. And I'm like, great, let's go do this.
Pause and do the work.
Pause and do the work. All right. Terms and conditions. We're going to wrap with this. We've got 4 minutes.
No, we have 1 minute.
Oh, we have. Set the timer. All right. So tech partner right here is falling down on the job. That's great because it's all that we need. So let's talk about what I like to call terms and conditions, which is I promise you, you can be, have, achieve, and experience whatever, anything that you like. Right. Don't jump off a building without right assistance. But in the standard, like there's right Ron Carson, Joe Duran, like people have made, built huge firms. People have built wildly successful smaller firms.
And all the same at the time.
Everything is possible. It's about clarity and intention. What is first required? It will not happen if you don't raise your standards. Your standards externally, but also internally, your belief systems. And here's what I know. If I walked into your office with a briefcase full of $250,000 in cold hard cash or $1 million, whatever your big goal is, and I said, Jennifer, this is your money. I'm going to put it on the conference table or in the kitchen, right? Maybe don't show it to the clients. And this is going to be yours at the end of the year. If you just follow the track we set for you, pick your priorities for the year and implement those things, right? Manage your time, have a clear vision, do a daily routine, and then pick your priorities. I don't care what they are. Go for it. Jennifer, I will give you that $250,000 at the end of the year. Would you do it? Jennifer's like, yes, Jen, that's where you say yes. Yes, absolutely. I would do it, right? And then the issue is that if I said to Jennifer, because habit conditions kick into place and they get in the way. And then if I said to Jennifer, okay, that's great. I noticed you were in email 12 times today. You broke one of the rules. Take $25,000 off the table. Now, how many times would Jennifer break the rules? How many times would she lower her standards? Science actually says twice. Science says she'll do it twice before she goes, ouch, that really hurt. I did it once. They weren't kidding. I lost the money twice. That's what's happening every single day in your practice. There is a pile of money, more importantly, a pile of time and joy and client value sitting in a heaping pile in the middle of the conference room table. But because you can't see it and you don't feel the $25,000 get taken away, we believe that what we're doing is in service of our goals when often it's quite the opposite. So we'll talk about strategies but you want to keep that present. It's why we have the post-its and the big whys, is to keep us on track and constantly reminded of what you're here to do and achieve and experience. Follow-up lessons, these are all on the website, things to watch and read, ways to apply, and actions that you can take. So be sure to follow up there if you haven't already. All right, for Lifestyle and Legacy team members who have joined us, it was so great to have you with us. I hope this gives you a great kickoff to sort of just the mindset piece that we'll all be working on this year. And we're now going to dive into peer breakouts, so you can all be excused. If you are a primary member, a co-member, or a leader's team member, you are welcome to stay as requested by your advisor or your firm. And with that, we are now going to...
Liz.
All right. Well, I'm really excited to be able to share this with you, especially thinking about as we launch the Mindset Office Hours. Sometimes it can feel a little bit intimidating sharing of yourself in front of so many people. So why not have the Mindset Office Hours coach show all from her mind so that you can see that, hey, you're not alone. We're all working through this. So as I looked through the different seven mindsets of success, just a little context of who I am, I come from a Mennonite Amish background. So women's role, you can work out after you graduate eighth grade. Funds your family. Then you get married. And once you get married, you stop working and you raise a family and keep the home. So already I'm way outside of that. And as I've worked through some of those mindsets, I have a new layer of mindset. So this is where I'm at today. All right. And after I go through mine, we'll have a couple of minutes for you to consider your own, and then some breakouts after that. So just some of them that I've been working through, starting with worth, is nobody understands me and I'm not as good as others. When I first came into Limitless was that first questionnaire that came where I had to state AUM, revenue, all of the information about the firm. And session right after that with Elise, who's the mindset coach at the time, and just said, this is the point that I am no good to be in this program. And now the new story that I've been putting on is that I speak wisdom. I distill the complex into simple. And when I get to that moment, looking at my action items, I know the trigger for myself. It's that point in time where I'm speaking and someone's like, wait, what? And that will trip me into that mindset of nobody understands me and I'm not as good as other people. So that's my moment for the catch and correct button. And then I remind myself that I speak wisdom and I distill the complex into simple. And sometimes it takes them a little bit to catch up to me. For clarity, just from the perspective of a community mindset, I've always approached work and life from like we build other people up in the process of bringing ourselves up. And so when it comes to clarity, my clarity gets fogged when I come to this place of others' needs come first. My needs come first. So oftentimes this showed up, I'm second gen business owner, and it started with, you know, just really supporting my dad in all of the way that he was building the business. And now about that. So I'm open and eager to what's next. And when I shine, others have permission to shine too. So I can elevate myself and bring others with me versus where everybody is coming up alongside with me at the same time, which takes a lot more effort. So the action items I have from that are just a daily visioning practice of next level Liz, wearing a red dress, which I wore today. Thank you very much. And then bringing the conversation to my coach, just continuing to bring back, what is this vision? What is this next level Liz that's coming up that I keep getting a glimpse of, and she's becoming more clear. Value. The old story that I function out of is anyone can do what I do. And I'm not doing total imposter syndrome. And the new story that I took on is I'm magnetic when I'm authentic. That's to clients, that's to peers, that's to my team. And I'm curious and always improving. So I don't have to be that crystallized perfection. I'm always curious and improving what it is. So for me, even in this space, this is a new space for me to be speaking in this way to this many people. And so there's I do that just elevates me back kind of into my above the line status and my energy there. Sure that I breathe when I get to that moment.